Amen. As you celebrate this 29th anniversary of this millennium, you can truly say we come this far by faith. Amen. Thank y'all, Mel, of course, for that song. That was beautiful. Thank y'all for the music. It helps set the tone for the service as well. God is certainly good. Thank God for all of you. Amen. Listen, church, I want to tell you something. For a long time, there was a person who was looking for a perfect church. One day, that church finder was struck by an old saying, "If you find the perfect church, do not go there because you'll ruin it." There are no perfect churches like there are no perfect people in this world. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen, saints. Amen. Thank you. Listen, let us pray before we do anything else. Our God, you are an awesome God. You're marvelous and you're wondrous. God, we just thank you today that marvelously you have saved us. You have given us your salvation. We just thank you, Lord, that you have just come alongside and undergirded us. When we are down and out, God, you lift us up. When things look cloudy, oh God, you move the clouds, oh God, and send the sunshine that we may see the light at the end of the tunnel. Father, do bless your people. Do bless this congregation, every heart, every mind, every soul. And Lord, for those, God, who are struggling in their life, walk with you. Draw them now to you through thy person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us allow he, the Holy Spirit, to have his perfect work in our life. Now bless your people again, for we ask it all in the marvelous name of our Lord and our Savior Christ. Let us all say amen. Amen. Listen, saints, our text this morning is going to be found in, we're going to use a background text and we're going to use a regular text. I want to tell you today that there are many churches, as I shared with Pastor Ricks, and we talked, I know a few years ago my brother passed away, we were going back and forth to Greensboro to see him when they put him in hospice care. But anyway, as I looked around and as we looked around, we could see that many church doors had shut. Many mega church doors had closed. But I want to tell you today, saints, you are still standing and you're still here even after 29 years. The church that God finds or found, it's going to stand no matter what. Hell's gates cannot prevail against it. Amen. The church might get baffled and beat up, and there may be some rocks and rills in the road, but God's still going to allow it to stand because he found that church upon a solid rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, let us look at something right quick, and we're going to move forward. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 is where our text is found. But I want to give you some backdrop to that before we do anything else. Amen. Amen. Do you have your Bible, saints? Always bring your Bible. It's very important that you have your sword. Amen. You don't know when it might come a chance that you had to do some battle work. Huh? And if you have your sword, the logos, the scripture, the Bible, you can stand. You can do battle. You don't have to worry about retreating. Huh? Amen. I want to give you some backdrop before we do that. That's where our text will be taken from, but we're going to talk about something where Jesus made four mention of the church. And most of us know in Matthew 16 that Jesus talked about the four mention of the church before the church began. He had first made mention of the church. But anyway, we're going to pause. We're going to go back after we leave that, and we're going to go to Acts, and we're going to give you some points that you can kind of look at and meditate on along the way. Amen. Again, I tell you, God is good. And look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18 if you have your Bible. And this is a beautiful text, saints. Matthew 16, 13 through 18. It's a beautiful text. And the text states that when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say, thou art John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Some say Elijah, the prophet that worked miracles. Some say Jeremiah, the weeping prophet." He said unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed or unveiled it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome or prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Amen. Then we'll go to Acts. Make sure you write that down, 2:42. And it says, "And they continually steadfast in apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they all believed, were together, and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted to them all men as every man had need." And he says, "And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved." Now go back to Matthew. Listen, saints, Jesus in this text in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13, first mention of the church in the Bible. We find the first mention of the church in the Bible in this text. And what I mean by that, saints, is the word church has the idea of ecclesia, the call out body or call out ones. We have been called out from the world to salvation to serve Jesus Christ. Isn't that all right, saints? Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea, of Philippi, and there was a question that was asked by his clergy. Jesus asked them, his clergy, a simple question. "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Isn't that good, saints? Huh? Those disciples were preparing to become apostles later on after they had been taught by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. You see, our Savior at one point was getting ready to go to Calvary. But before he was to go to Calvary, he wanted to deposit a word into his disciples' life, into their lives. Listen, saints, we need to listen carefully to the Word of God. Because when we listen to the Word of God, God will deposit something securely into our life. Because he knows what lies ahead for us. Isn't God good, saints? So they began to ask a question, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" So he asked that question to them. Jesus was dealing with the disciples in the marketplace round about him. Some said John the Baptist. And we know and we believe what the scripture teaches, that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one that would pave the way for Jesus, who would come after John the Baptist. Isn't that good, saints? And so some said, Elijah, we know and we believe that Elijah was that great prophet in Israel that worked many miracles. But we know that Elijah was taken up by a chariot into heaven. He did not see death. And then some said Jeremiah. Well, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because Jeremiah went through many tribulation and suffering with the people of Israel. Jeremiah was hated because of his stance on the word of God. He was hated even so much that when he was prophesied, one of the kings didn't want to hear it. And so what did he do? He devised a plan and he put Jeremiah down into a system. Saints, I want to tell you today, whenever you share the word of God on a constant basis, you can expect to get some satanic opposition. As a Christian, if you will take a stand, it doesn't mean all the time, but you're going to bump into Satan every once in a while. Huh? He said, Jesus then turns to his disciples and looking at them, verse 15, but whom do you say that I am? And I want to ask you that question. Whom do you say that Jesus Christ is? Who is this to you? Huh? But whom do you say that I am? I told you what the people said, people in the marketplace said. Listen, saints, but I want you to know, my disciples, what he was saying. I want you to know, disciples, in the Greek text, the word you, who do you all say the Son of Man? And it's, you know, we have the English translation, but in the Greek it says, who do you all say that I am? Yeah, all. The disciples who were round about him, he asked that great question. Peter answers the question, singular. But as we look at this in this text, he says it's in the plural, you, because he's asking a group of disciples that's gathered around him, who do you say that I am? Are you happy today, saints? Yeah. Amen. Before we get any further, saints, let me give you the text, give you the topic. I forgot to give you the topic. But the topic is the church that Jesus found. See, the church that Jesus found, it's going to stand, saints. It has stood the test down through the years, from the first century on up until the 21st century. The true church that Jesus found, it's going to stand, saints. Huh? So then he says, collectively, who do you say that I am, saints? You see, Jesus Christ was the founder of Christianity. We have men that found many religions or whatever, and they have died and gone off the scene. And as you look at that, we only see this man is the only man that has come back from the dead, evidently with many, Luke says, many infallible proofs. Jesus came back from the dead, was resurrected from the dead. But where is all the other men that found all the other religions? They're still buried. All right, let us move on a little further. And we know that as we look at this, Peter was the chief apostle. Peter was the leader of the group. Peter was always the one with the outspoken one. And Peter was the one that was very bombastic and bombastic. And Peter was the one that was very hard. He would shoot very hard. He would come at you very hard. So anyway, look at verse 16. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus now pronounces a blessing upon him. He says, Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen, Jesus is telling Peter, you are blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood, human agents, did not reveal this truth to you. They did not unveil this truth to you. But he says, but my Father, which is in heaven. Peter, even though you're here gathered with the group, even though we are conversating, but flesh and blood didn't make this known to you. But he says, while you're down here in the earthly realm, in the spirit, in the earthly realm, even though the Father, which is in the heaven realm, you can make contact. And Peter, he unveiled this truth to you. And he said, and what does he say in verse 18? Look at that. And I say also unto you, thou art Peter, Petros, a stone. And upon this rock, a large rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not overcome the church. I'm reminded of a singer named Lee Williams. He says, even though that I cross many rocks and rills, I've come this far, and I come this far, and I can't turn around now. How about you today, saints? Have you come this far by faith? This life that we live in and tabernacle in down here in this earth is only by faith. It's not what you can see. Don't worry about tomorrow, because the day will take care of itself. Isn't that all right? He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot overcome it. Well, the word Peter is taken from the Greek, which means a stone. Peter, you're just a little stone. But that's all right. He calls Peter a stone because Simon was his previous name, a little pebble. Huh? Isn't that good, saints? You might be little in stature, but sooner or later, God's got a way that he graduates you. And that's the kind of God that we serve. Huh? Well, Simon, you just been promoted. You've been promoted from a disciple to an apostle. Apostle, one that has seen the risen Savior. One that saw a witness of Jesus being his resurrection. That's the credential of an apostle. Isn't that all right? Simon, he saw the miracles that Jesus performed. Huh? Apostle. Let me move on a little further. Huh? Well, Peter was looking forward to opening the doors of the church at Pentecost. Huh? God is good. The church that Jesus found, it will stand, and it's standing now. It has stood the test of times down through the generation. Huh? Isn't that all right? But God, speaking to Peter, says, upon this rock, I will build my church, the called out ones. Isn't that all right, saints? You see, the church, saints, he was looking forward to building his church. He built it one by one, two by two. The Lord adds to the church. Let me hit the rock. What does the rock refer to? Jesus is talking about? Jesus is talking about a group, because he asked the question to a group. The Greek word petro, rock, was used in the classical Greek as a network of rock, of a boulder rock, crept together or matted together and forming one big rock. Isn't that good, saints? You are on that rock. I'm on that rock. He says in 1 Peter 2:5, you are a lively stone. You ever seen a dead church being towed behind a hearse? No. Isn't God good? Well, he said, Peter, a massive humongous rock, I'll build my church upon the rock. Jesus being the founder and the builder. Isn't God good, saints? Huh? He says, you disciples, you're going to be a collection of stones, and you're going to build on that one essential rock. That is, the rock is Christ Jesus. Isn't Christ Jesus that rock? On Christ, that solid rock, I stand. When everything else is sinking sand, all around me is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Isn't that all right, saints? Put everything else going down except the solid rock, Jesus the Christ. Isn't God good, saints? He says, I'll build my church. Well, again, Jesus says, you are talking to Peter. Peter states that in 1 Peter 2:5, he says, you are a lively or living stone. You are built upon a spiritual house. That spiritual house is Jesus Christ. Amen. So he tells us, you are a lively stone. You formate the church. Isn't God good? Yes. You see, saints, there are many people today, they don't believe in the local church. Television evangelist is their pastor. But Jesus said in Hebrews 10 and 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You are a called out assembly. You have to go and attend the local church. That's God's plan. Isn't God good, saints? He says, upon this rock I'll build my church, the ecclesia. It is used of a organized local assembly. You see what I'm saying, saints? Why would you say television evangelist is my pastor? I don't have to go and fellowship and worship with the saints of God. Oh, yes, you do. That's what Jesus said we ought to do. Amen. We are the called out body. Saints, you've been called out of this world to a life in Jesus Christ. You have been born again. God has imparted life into your life, into you. And so you have eternal life. Isn't that all right? They have been called out and placed. You have been called out and placed into the body of Christ. Huh? You have been placed. Well, Paul says, for by one spirit, we have all been baptized into this one body. And that is the body of Jesus Christ. Baptized has the idea of being submerged or placed in the body. Isn't that all right? And once a believer becomes a member of the local church, the first thing we want to do is disciple them and get them into the pool. Say, baptize them. Isn't that good, saints? God is good. Huh? So then the ecclesia is the most powerful entity in the United States. Church, we can move mountains. We can move issues. That's the God that we serve. Now, let us go to Acts. And we're going to talk about a few points. The ecclesia, the call-out body. Saints, you have been called out to do the work of the ministry. Amen. So let us look at that. We're going to move on. God is good, saints. The church, saints, I want to tell you today, it has, number one, it has the church that Jesus Christ found, that God found. It has the right message. Well, there are some that don't have the right message. Huh? But the church that God found has the right message. And the message does, it talks about a Savior. Isn't that right? Jesus saves from sin. It talks about Jesus. It points, the message that the church has, point men to Jesus Christ. Jesus as presented in the gospel as the pre-existent one. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You see, Jesus just didn't start here on earth, but he was in eternity, back in eternity with God. He was pre-existent. Is that right? It says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed from the beginning. He was with God in the beginning, and he was God. Huh? That's what he says, and that's what the Word of God says. He was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and he was God. John says that, the Apostle John says that when you began to talk about Jesus Christ, you can do so properly when you go back to the earthly, before his earthly life, back beyond the beginning of creation. Genesis says, in the beginning, huh, was God. And then it says God created. Well, before creation came into place, Jesus Christ was with God. Isn't that all right? Well, I want to tell you again, Jesus Christ was with God. This is affirmation of Christ's separate, pre his personality. John said that he was fully God and he was fully man. We call that the hypostatic union, an embodiment of flesh and God. God, man, and what? The God, man, 100% God and 100% man. And when he became man, it did not decrease him in him, but it was God that was robed and tabernacled in that body of flesh. That's what verse 14 said, and he pitched his tent among men. He tabernacled among men. Jesus said on one occasion, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. If disciples, you don't want to know what God looked like, look at me. Then you have seen the Father. He says, I and my Father are one. Jesus is fully divine, John says, and the Word was God. This means everything that can be said of God the Father can be said about God the Son. You got it, saints. John gives clear testimony about Jesus Christ in verse 114. What 114 said in John? He talks about the genuine humanity of Christ. The apostle declared that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talks about the humanity of Jesus Christ coming down from heaven, taking on a body of flesh. Isn't that all right? He didn't relinquish that glory. That glory was concealed or veiled inside that tabernacle. God, good saints. So I want to tell you, saints, this church that you belong to, it preaches the right message. It talks about the Savior. And that's what you're supposed to talk about, point men to Jesus Christ, because Matthew said, and he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Jesus was his human name, which means Savior, man's Savior. He will save anyone that comes to him. I'm glad about that, saints, because he saved me. I was lost in a world of sin, drooping out to nowhere, drifting on my way to a Christless eternity or a Christless hell. But one day, by God's grace, I heard the Word. I heard the minister. He was preaching about Enoch, walk with God. He talked about Enoch walking with God and did not see death, but was translated. I got convicted in my heart. I said, you're talking about me. And it wasn't long, I was up to the front. Enoch walked with God. I said, I don't want to see death, the death you're talking about. But Enoch didn't die physically, but he was translated. Oh, man, ever since that day, my life is no longer the same. Huh? God is good, saints, I tell you. He says he tabernacled among men, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what John the Apostle says, and he says, no man can come to the Father, huh? Without coming to the Son. Isn't God good, saints? So then, we have a church that talks about sin. They don't sugarcoat it, huh? Jesus, God, Paul said, God had made him to become sin for us, a man that knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. There was no guile or deceit found in him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, that was the work of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't change your life. But the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, changed your life, huh? And made you righteousness. Paul said he is our righteousness. This robe that you have on, the visible eye can't see it. The naked eye can't see it. But it's only through faith that you see this robe of righteousness. Isn't that all right? He talks about sin. The object of God's redemptive plan was followed out by Jesus Christ, not by fallen angels. You see, Therefore, God's Son became man in order that he might die in our place, die in our stead, die for the penalty of the sin that we deserve. But Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, found you and I not guilty. Justice demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, I've already paid the price. Huh? That's what it says. That's what the song said. He made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of him. Not only that, the church that God founded has the right membership. Don't get quiet on me now. You see, people have a way there. But it has the right membership. When you get saved, you join a local church. That's biblical, saints. Isn't that biblical? Huh? I know I did. A saved membership. The church is made up of people who have experienced the new birth. God has imparted new life into their life. Jesus said in John 3:3 that you must be, in order to belong to the new, to the local church, you must be to God's church, you must be born again. And when people are born again, it makes the pastor's job much lighter. It makes it much easier. It takes a burden off his shoulder because God has imparted life and you know how to conduct yourself. So he says in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. And not only that, he said that the tendency in the modern church is to fill up the pew. I'm reminded of the late Dr. Baker. There's nothing wrong with membership. He says, brother, God didn't call you to pack the walls, but he called you to preach the gospel that it might transform lives to those hearers. That's what he told me and shared with me. And ever since that day, I never shall forget. He said, brother, always remember that. Always wear that. But I want to move on a little further. He says the birth is not because of a human decision, not because of a human decision in a sense that you make, but is what? It is not self-reformation either, but it's because of the word of God, you hearing the word of God, being educated in the word of God, and enlightened by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will enlighten you, saints. Yes, it will. When you sit down and you meditate and you listen real careful and you block out everything else, that's going on around you, and don't get distracted. The Spirit of God will enlighten you. He'll begin to speak to your heart. And you say, Lord, I understand that just clearly what you're saying. And that's me. That I want to move from that point on, move forward. Amen. So then, the church has the right methodology. Isn't that right, saints? The church that God founded has the right methodology. Saints, look at this. I want to show you something right quick. Go back to verse 37. Peter now is preaching. Peter is preaching to Israel, those Jews. He's telling those Jews that, hey, you are the same ones that carried him before the determinate council. Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, and those men, wicked men, they condemned the Prince of Glory. But now, you Jews, you are the same one that crucified the Savior. This is what you must do. You must repent, turn from your ways. Not only have a turn from your ways, but have a change of mind, a change of heart. Turn from sin to God and believe that he is the Christ. And he says, and what did he say? And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive as a gift the Holy Spirit. Listen, saints, I want to tell you today, I looked at that and I studied that and I seen that, and it came to me just as plain as daylight, what the scripture that goes parallel with that. On the day of Pentecost, when the doors of the church was open, and Peter began to preach, and the Spirit of God began to work with the people, they had a change of heart. They repented about this man Jesus, and they changed their life. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. And you notice it says, Jesus the Christ, God's anointed one for the forgiveness of their sins. And he said, God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That very moment you're saved, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Huh? He says over in Romans chapter 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he or she is none of his. So I wrestled and I was puzzled with that for a long time, some years back. I said, how can that be? But yet one say one, and but the Holy Spirit will enlighten you. And he says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you're none of his. Amen. Saints, listen. We have the right methodology. We present the gospel. It says, skip down from there. Go to verse 40 and 41. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Peter was testifying, giving witness, and exhorting them and encouraging them, saying, you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Huh? From this crooked generation. Then he says that they that gladly receive his word were baptized. Saints, after you receive the word of God, next thing you know, you're going to baptize. You're going to get them into the pool. Huh? That's the next thing we do. He said they were baptized, and the same day, he says they were added to the church 3,000 souls. Saints, an addition. Multiplication factor here. Huh? We see that. He said were added to the church. Huh? About 3,000 souls. God's mythology, God's plans work, saints. You can't beat God's plan. If it's outside of God's plan, it's not going to work. Sometimes we have to find out the hard way, but that's the way it is. And it says, not only that, saints, he said that was a continuation. After they were saved, they continually were hearing the word. Listen, saints, what better would be for a new convert to hear the word of God after he's saved? Get under the word of God and get taught the word of God and grow in the word of God. As Peter said, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what people need to do after they're saved. Grow. Don't stay stagnated. Don't stay there. You need to know all what God has for you and all what God want to do through you. All that God has laid up for you. That's God, saints. This is the church that God built. Saints, the church that God built cannot be torn down. Saints, it has stood the test of time. And the old saints in the old days, during Martin Luther generation, when they had it hard, when they were threatened not to preach God's word. Can I get a witness? During the days of John Knox and the early century preachers, they preached the word of God without fear, without they know it will be some recovery. Repercussion, but they preach the word of God. Peter here is preaching on the day of Pentecost. He's hurling out the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died. You crucified him. He shed his blood. You took him down off a cross, and you crucified him, and you took him off that cross, and you laid him in a borrowed tomb. He didn't even have anywhere to lay his head, but Joseph of Arimathea made sure that he had a decent burial. He said, you were the one that crucified him. But not only that, saints, after they put him in the tomb as God had promised, he will rise again from the dead. He will be resurrected, brought back from the dead. Isn't that all right? He walked on out of that tomb the third day, walked on up, climbed on up, went into heaven, came back, and walked and talked among men. 40 days afterward, the 50th day, 10 more days, the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Saints, I'm done. Are you satisfied with that? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied with Jesus?